Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode, a listener shares a follow-up story. Is how she figured out who was the ghost of a blue bear mascot visiting her niece. I remember that story.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre one.
It was.
I'm excited to hear exactly what was figured out. A child is visited by a farmer in the middle of the night and only recently discovered the true identity of the visitor. Sometimes it's the creepy sounds within a home that are frightening, but sometimes it's the absence of those sounds that's even worse. And a woman is fighting off drowsiness while driving when a spirit suddenly appears riding shotgun and keeping her awake. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Have you pressed subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, one of the other 500 services that exist out there to download podcasts?
I think I pressed it on something because I still get the updates on when the new episodes are released sent to my email.
It's important.
Yes.
It's good to have that because then you know, and then you have them all downloaded directly to your device. You don't have to like search them or try and figure out what's the newest episode. Is it downloading right? Yeah, press it. Helps us grow the show and you get all the episodes sent directly to you as we release them. So make sure you do that. And like I said, we are now on Spotify. If you have the access to the podcast area, not everyone has that yet. It's one of those things they're slowly rolling it out to make sure it's functioning correctly. It's doing its thingamajiggy.
I always wonder how they choose who to try and who doesn't get to try.
I don't know. I don't know if it's kind of random or
I don't know.
Just a certain percentage of just, okay. And then, you know, they make sure that it's all functioning. And then eventually in the next couple of weeks, everyone will have access there. But if you use Spotify, there you go. Another way to get the show. So lots and lots of places. If I were you and you use multiple services like me, press subscribe on every single one of them. Then everywhere you go, every breath you take, every move you make, we'll be sharing ghost stories with you.
There you go.
That's how it works. So thank you in advance for doing that. Of course, phone number is 855-853-4802. To share your real ghost story with us. What's the creepiest song you've ever heard?
Oh, what is that one? Something that says your half of the flesh makes me whole. It's really creepy.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly.
Is that Broken Wings?
So take Mr. Mister?
I think so.
Your half, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think that is Broken Wings.
I just thought that was the creepiest line ever.
That is very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was just running through my head.
There's a lot more romantic ways to say whatever they're trying to say in that song, other than it sounds like he's going to eat her and then be full.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing nothing like that.
Mm-mm.
Honey, come on over. No, you don't need to bring any dessert or anything because... Although that could be taken like in a sexual way, though, too. But your half of the flesh and blood makes me whole. That kind of sounds a little...
It's just gross.
A little vampiristic.
It would be a turnoff to whoever was singing that to me.
So, especially in the day of texting. Could you imagine getting a text like that? One thing trying to have it like in a ballad sent to someone. It's like, is this person a vampire? You know, they start looking it up. They're like, what the hell is going on? You know, start doing like the vampire background checks and interesting stuff.
Vampire background checks. What is that?
I don't know. It's a service that's out there somewhere.
It is not.
You're right. It's not. I just made it up.
You're so full of shit.
But there might be somewhere. If you were involved in vampiristic activities, I would think that if you ever convicted of something, that would be on some sort of a record. I don't know. It would be listed under possibly a vampire.
Some kind of assault.
Yeah. And then if you could read the details, oh, they're a vampire. Oh, they just really, really like Mr. One of the two. I'm trying to think of the creepiest song in the top of my head. I mean, I would have to go. I always go to the one I quoted earlier, the Police. The Police. Because that's a wonderful song about stalking someone. Which I don't know how on earth it was ever. It was kind of funny back when I was DJing weddings, you know, in my late teen years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the bizarre songs that people would ask for at their weddings. And that was a common one, actually.
Really?
And it was always just like, this is such a weird song to be playing. It's like, it's one of those where they clearly really never listened to the lyrics all that closely.
Uh-huh.
Or they just kind of maybe had a moment with the song or something. And I get that. Okay, this is a song that was playing. I guess any song could be your wedding song then if you're just going off of the moment something happened and whatever was playing in the background becomes your song. That was a common one. I don't think I ever had Broken Wings, though.
Broken Wings is awful. Yeah. It's funny, the weirder the song, the mm-hmm. bigger the hit. I mean, Hazard, a song about murder.
That would be a great wedding song.
God.
And here's Hazard from Richard Marx. I swear I left her safe and sound. And there's like someone missing in the family.
Oh, God.
It's like a toast being. And here's to your sister who we've never found, but...
That's awful.
And yet the groom has this really weird attachment to the song Hazard. That would be a very awkward family situation right there. Yes, but it's probably happened at some point in time. Let's go to our first letter of the show. Hope writes in, and she says, hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Hope from Chicago. You recently shared my story in an episode called Little Friends. I know Tony has some trouble with recalling past stories because he's slow and stupid and probably has...
It does not say that. If she had written that, I would have edited it out.
She does not say that. So I'll save Jenny some trouble and give you a quick summary. Ha ha. My ghost story started when I woke up to a person dressed in a blue bear mascot-like suit sitting on the end of my sister's bed. Years later, my baby niece claimed she was talking to a blue bear. We've been searching for an answer to this bear and who it could be forever. I honestly thought we would never have an answer. Like you, we also thought it was a Chicago Cubs or Bears fan. All the schools in our area seemed to have bird mascots, and we also couldn't find any Little League mascots that were blue bears either. We have come to find out that it's probably not a mascot at all. Just 2 days ago, my sister and I were feeding my niece at the kitchen table. We're having trouble getting her to concentrate on the food. She kept trying to peer around us into the living room. She was laughing hysterically. Because of the last incident, we realized she was probably seeing something we couldn't. My sister nervously asked her what was so funny, and she said, Paul is being funny. My sister's face turned sheet white. That's when all of the pieces of the puzzle started to fall together. When my sister and brother-in-law first moved into their house, they had a neighbor who lived across the street. Named Paul. Paul was severely autistic and socially awkward. However, my brother-in-law's happy-go-lucky attitude seemed to put even the shyest of people at ease. Paul and my sister and brother-in-law quickly struck up a great friendly neighbor relationship. Unfortunately, Paul passed away about 3 months before my niece was born. It's a shame because he was so excited to meet the baby. My sister has come to the conclusion that Paul and the blue bear are one and the same. You see, Paul was a furry. If you have never heard of furries, it's a community of adults who dress up in large mascot-like costumes of the animal of their choice. I'm guessing these people are just trying to connect with a different side of themselves. I don't really understand the attraction to this lifestyle, but I can understand why Paul would. He probably didn't feel so shy behind the mask, and there was no need to worry about social cues he didn't understand. My brother-in-law would often take in Paul's mail and water his garden while he was away at furry conventions. Although they never saw Paul in his suit or remember him mentioning what his chosen animal was, we feel that it must be him. My whole family feels better knowing that Bear is a friend with no ill will towards my niece. We're looking into ways to help him cross over. Thank you so much for listening. I really do love the show. I'm hoping my paranormal experiences will soon be at an end, at least for the time being.
I think it's kind of a relief for them to find out that it's just their friendly neighbor and why there was a blue bear costume. If you Google furry convention, though, it brings up all kinds of pictures of all these mascots, essentially, wandering around and everything. And I don't know enough about it, but just by looking at the images, there seems to be a, like, leader of the furries that is kind of a blue-type bear-looking animal. So maybe he picked to be that for the afterlife.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then wanting to have some fun and play with the kids and knowing that this is a way that they could interact.
That might be his version of heaven, to always be in his furry outfit.
Sure. I could see that. That's a very interesting conclusion to that story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one I would have absolutely never have guessed. I've heard of the furries before, but I was just mainly in passing, like on. Wasn't there a reality show about that? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was just one about mascots on Hulu that I remember seeing some commercials for. I don't remember.
I think it was mascots.
Okay. I have heard of the furry thing, but I never really paid much more attention to it other than going, oh, well, that's interesting. And that was about it. But so I never would have guessed that or thought of that as a conclusion, but that really explains it.
It sure does.
Wow. Well, thank you for following up and sharing that with us. I love that when we get some of these stories, especially when it's something like that, where we just kind of go, especially when they ask, you know, what do you guys think? Wanting some sort of, you know, explanation. And we just have completely drawn a blank, like with that one. So it's awesome to hear when that's being able to be resolved and some answer there. So if you ever share a story like that with us, and then later on, whether it be a weeks later, months later, years later, please do share that with us, because I'm sure our audience really also enjoys hearing the end of some of these stories.
Well, and if it's been a long time, you know, we're talking several months or years, we can always go back and pull the original story and read them both so that everybody can get the whole picture of what's going on.
Sure, sure, especially if it's a really good story.
Yeah.
A lot of those, it really is worth it to hear it again. So thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story. Call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share away. Kelly writes in, I was recently listening to EPP episode 37 and listened to a story of the postman who was involved in an accident and was then seen on a farm. A typical name for this would be a crisis apparition. It's usually seen when someone is close to death or at the moment of their death. There's lots of stories on the internet dealing with these forms of apparitions. I'd like to share a quick story with you, which happened to my mom about 25 years ago. My granddad died in a hospital after a short illness. My mom was unable to get there as we lived in Lancashire and my grandparents lived in Scotland. Due to some animosity with her siblings, no one would give her a lift to Scotland, even though they were going up themselves. So fast forward 2 weeks, my mom was alone one afternoon when she began to feel unwell. She decided that a nap may help her, so she went to lay down. She was dozing when she began to think of my granddad. After a few minutes, she felt a pressure on the bottom of the bed. She sat bolt upright, but no one was there. After a few minutes, she calmed down, laid back down. Then she felt someone sit on the side of the bed, and a hand rested on her shoulder. Then she heard her name called. She says it was definitely my granddad's voice. She believes that it was his way of letting her know that he was okay. What do you think? I hope to hear this on the show. I'd be happy to send some more of my experiences, especially the headless apparition I saw, if you'd like to hear them. Anyway, all the best to you and your family. Best wishes from Kelly.
I would like to hear the headless apparition story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the father somehow knew she tried to get to him and couldn't. And so he came to her. And, you know, I think that was just kind of that closure that they probably never would have had if he hadn't made that attempt in the afterlife to come and see her.
I agree.
Okay.
I have nothing more to add. I think you spelled it out quite well.
Oh, thank you.
855-853-4802. I would like to hear the headless apparition story, too. That would be interesting. Because I wonder if the heads in the headless apparition story were actually in one of the stories we had yesterday, with just the missing heads. The heads floating around.
That was arms and legs.
Oh, arms and legs. There was a head part, too, wasn't there?
No. We had a headless apparition story a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It was a woman and a baby.
Okay.
Both headless.
Okay.
But we did have a story, I think it was in our EPP episode, of a grave, a cemetery groundskeeper that brought home a skull from the plague days.
Yeah.
And then a head started following him around.
Yeah, that's messed up.
It is messed up.
I don't understand what is going through someone's mind when they're picking up something like that and taking it home as a souvenir. It's just like, why?
I don't know.
I just don't know. Yes, creepy. But you could also get a creepy fake looking one over at the fabric store, too. Why do you need a real one? It's not right.
No, it's not right.
It's one of those human things where you go, not ever right. No. I don't know. Another letter here. Hi, I live in Ontario. I've been listening to your show for about 6 months or so. Anyway, I'd like to share my story. The gift of sensitivity runs in my family. We believe that I've had this gift since I was very young. My earliest memory was of when I was about one or two. My mother, father, and I just moved from the States, and we were living with my grandparents for the time. From what I remember and what my family had told me, I was in my crib upstairs, and everyone else was downstairs watching TV. I was awoken by a touch on my forehead. I looked up to see a slightly transparent, ghostly figure. He was older, slim, and was wearing a baseball cap, overalls, and had a blade of grass in his mouth. His presence was comforting and warm, and I felt safe. I began yelling, "Farmer, farmer!" My mother and grandmother had heard me and came upstairs to see what was going on. They came up the stairs, and the figure disappeared. They saw nothing and simply put me back to sleep. We often talk about this occurrence, and recently, my grandmother was cleaning her basement and found a couple scrapbooks for when my mother was little. I was scrolling through one of the books, and in one of the photos was an elderly man. He was the man I had seen in my room when I was little. He was wearing the exact same clothes and everything. My grandmother told me that was her grandfather. She told me he was a farmer who worked on the land behind her house. He also lived in her house before her and was very ill, but he refused to go to the hospital and passed away in the house. I also learned that one of my close cousins had also seen him when she was young. We believe that he watches over our family like a guardian angel. Well, that's my story. I have many more and hope to write in and share them with you. I love your podcast and hope to someday become an EPP. Thank you for your show. Until next time.
There isn't a whole lot to add to that, you know.
It's definitely a demon.
It's not. It just is so neat to be able to find out, even if it is several years later, who that was. Because that's going to be one of those experiences you always have in the back of your mind, like, who the hell was that?
I think that's one of those stories that really shows to folks who argue that everything paranormal is demonic. There's an argument out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything and everything paranormal, it's, you know. Really? I mean, when you have that, absolutely nothing negative happened out of it. It was just kind of witnessed every now and then, and it's, you can trace it back to a human being. I don't know. It's hard to make that argument that it's something dark, because there's absolutely no evidence of it being dark, just being there.
Well, in my mind is, you know, the argument of, well, it can be something posing as something not threatening. Okay.
Sure. But usually
why,
does something then.
Why would it be a person that this child had never met, wouldn't even know who it was? That's not going to be somebody that's comforting to her. That's a stranger to her.
Sure.
So it's kind of like, if that is, you know, mm-hmm. if that the argument is that it's, well, it's something demonic trying to be a comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go that route with it.
You'd pick Elmo.
Yeah, or something, yeah. Or somebody that the baby or the child had known that maybe was dead.
Yeah, not the strange man in the farming outfit that is completely foreign to the child.
Right.
No. No. Very interesting story. And it probably certainly was grandpa.
Yeah.
Or great grandpa there, you know, visiting. So thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you like the show, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. And if you are listening to us for the first time on the Dark Matter Radio Network, we have a whole lot more shows for you, our full archive. You can subscribe to us, like I said, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, whatever you like. Just go to our website as well. Our shows post there too, realghoststoriesonline.com, and check out our archive of literally hundreds of shows. Another letter. Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Melvina from Illinois. My real life ghost story begins in the late 1950s or early 1960s. Can't remember the actual year, but I can remember the story just like it was yesterday. I was a little kid at the time, spending the night with my paternal grandmother. We'll start with the background of the layout of my grandparents' home. My grandparents lived in a small bungalow on the south side of Chicago, Illinois. The house was a one-story, two bedrooms with a full basement, enclosed front back porch. The first bedroom was next to the living room, a.k.a. front room, the dining room area. My grandmother's living room furniture was covered with the plastic furniture covers, which were popular during that time. Furthermore, they also had plastic carpet runners from the front door leading all the way to the kitchen. These plastic carpet runners had small plastic tack to hold the runners in place, which you never noticed the sounds they made till late at night when the house was dark and quiet. The tacks would stick to the carpet, and those tacks make a popping sound which resembled footsteps, like someone was walking behind you when you walked over the runners. This particular night, I was sleeping in the extra bedroom, which belongs to my father, when he lived at my grandparents' home. The room always looked like it was occupied. The room consists of a dresser, personal items covering the top dresser, twin bed against one wall, and a small closet to the left board of the bed. Since my father no longer lived there, the closet was filled with my grandfather's clothing and a shoe bag hung on the inside of the closet door. Keep in mind, the closet door never closed completely. The door was always partway open, maybe about a few inches or so. And I could see the dress shoes hanging in the shoe bag. This particular night, I woke up to use the bathroom. I hated to use the bathroom at night because of the sound of the plastic carpet runners. I'd run to the bathroom because I was afraid someone was walking behind me. I knew it was the sounds from the plastic carpet runners that was making the noise, but I was still scared someone was directly behind me. The house was never really total dark because the street lights shined between the horizontal metal Venetian blinds. Now I had the terrifying trip back from the bathroom to bed. So I'd run back to bed, jump in and listen for the sounds, those scary tack sounds. Now I'm laying back in bed waiting to fall asleep. Then out of the corner of my left eye, I notice a closet door open and a man came out of the closet. I was not afraid. I just watched him walk past. He didn't make any sounds. I couldn't make out facial features. He was all black like a shadow man. He leaned over the bed, placed the covers over me. He stood at the foot of the bed for a second and he walked out the bedroom. I listened for the sounds of the carpet runners, but there was no sound. I ran and told my grandmother and whomever in the family that would listen. A man came out of the closet and covered me up and walked out of the bedroom. My mother told me years later she couldn't believe I remembered that story since I was so young. Today I'm 58 years old, and I can remember the story like it was yesterday. I can remember the smells, sounds, and the layout of the house. My mother told my father. My mother told me my father searched the house from top to bottom and nobody was there. The windows, doors were all locked. But my family thought my grandparents' house had been burglarized previously and they believed someone had hid in the closet till it was safe to leave the house. I don't think that was the case. The house was not burglarized that day. My mother said the reason why I was sleeping over was because my grandfather was away on a hunting trip and my grandmother was afraid to stay in the house alone. The man in the closet or shadow man, the shape and size of an average man. He didn't talk. He moved like the real person. There was no color, clothes, just black shapes and sizes. The street light shining in from the street didn't cast light over him, even when he walked. Not the bedroom door, just the shape was still dark and black. As he exited the room, no sounds from the carpet runner tacks. The house was sold after my grandparents passed away. To this day, I remember their house inside and out, which was always well kept. This is the end of my story. Tell me what you guys think. I love your show. Keep up the spooky stories. The spookier, the better, I always say. Thank you for taking the time to read my real life ghost story.
This is one instance where the lack of a sound that you would expect to hear can be even more alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was expecting to hear the popping of that carpet runner.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand why some ghosts make all kinds of footfall noises and some don't make any noise at all.
It's like some actually hold weight and mass and some do not. They mm-hmm. just appear to, but then actually don't affect the environment around them.
Yeah.
As to why, I have no idea.
I have no idea either. But this is another instance of a shadow person that's not really doing anything malevolent.
Yeah, just kind of hanging out. Hey, I'm going to leave the closet now. Tuck you back in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then gone. Very interesting story. What's even more scary in this story, the plastic on the furniture.
Oh, that was a thing then.
I think my grandma was doing that up until the 90s.
I remember somebody in my family did that. I don't remember who because I was really little by the time the plastic disappeared.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it was, if I remember correctly, my grandparents had a couch and they got rid of that couch and that one did not have the plastic on it. Then they got a new one in about, 1993-ish, mm-hmm. right around there. And that one got the plastic on it because it was brand new. Because why would you want to enjoy your furniture
wow.
when you have about 15 to 20 years left?
I just always remember on, Everybody Loves Raymond? The mm-hmm. mother.
Did she have that?
She had the plastic all over the furniture.
I don't get it. I mean, is it, I mean, it's to protect.
Yeah, it's to protect the furniture.
But it looks hideous. I mean, it makes the furniture look bad and feel bad.
I know.
So, I mean, is there ever a time then when you take, I mean, what's the etiquette with it? Is there a time when you take the plastic off? Like when you're having company? Like, oh, I've been protecting it all this time when I'm here so I don't spill anything on it, but I want it to be nice when people come over, which would be the time probably to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that the etiquette on it? Is there etiquette on it?
I'm assuming so just in the fact that my mom did something similar. It wasn't plastic, but we had these two recliners in our living room. And this was our room that we used for lounging and hanging out. It was not like a formal living room.
Yeah.
And she had one that was like a cranberry color and one that was a hunter green color. And she managed to find like bath sheet size towels in the exact same color as these two chairs. And so there was always the cranberry chair had the cranberry towel over it. And the same with the hunter green chair. And that was the most annoying thing because if you wanted to sit down, you had to adjust that towel. And most of the time it would flop forward and end up on your shoulders or whatever. But it was to protect the furniture. But when we had company over, those towels got put away.
What?
I don't know. We weren't grimy kids. I mean, we were just normal kids. Yes, we lived out in the country, but we didn't come in covered in mud or anything like that. So I don't know.
Furniture that's, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And it never will make sense. It's like it's designed to be used and sat on, and eventually it will wear out. I would almost think you'd wear it out faster by having another piece of abrasive material on top of it, rubbing against it constantly.
I think it was to protect more from like the body oils and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know.
I still want to know
where my mom found towels that match the furniture exactly so that I can do that with the kids. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that.
Until I was an adult, didn't realize that not everyone did not put carpeting on their toilet seats.
Huh?
You know the toilet seat covers?
Yeah.
The carpeted ones?
Yeah.
I thought like everybody did that. I thought that was just like the normal thing. When you have a toilet, you put a carpeted toilet seat cover on it. Because my parents did it my entire life. Like everyone in my family had a carpeted toilet seat cover. It was just, that was the it. I mean, if you didn't have it, looked like, oh, is someone cleaning the bathroom today? Is it like, are you renovating? Like, where's the carpeted toilet seat cover? It looked very odd to me.
Okay.
When there was not a carpeted toilet seat cover on the toilets. And then as I grew up and started spreading my wings beyond going to my family's homes, not everyone has those carpeted toilet seat covers.
Yeah.
Or even further, the top to the toilets, Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the top of the bowl uh-huh. where you take the cover off. Also, there's a carpeted strip you can put there. And usually one around the base of the toilet as well. A nice little carpeted mat.
I've never seen one for the tank lid. I've only seen one for the bowl cover and the U-shaped one around the bottom.
It's the trifecta of toiletry carpeting. It's you need all three to match it up.
Oh, that was the thing, you know, when we were kids.
It was the thing in my world till about 2003, I think. It's like somebody said to me, why do you have that? Are you trying to go for like a grandmotherly look in your apartment? Like, no, I just, I still see nothing wrong with it, but I mean, it doesn't really fit the decor of our home, but it's kind of comforting when you see it. It's like, oh, that's a little throwback there. Anyhow, Anna writes in, first of all, I love your show. By the way, I'm a proud EPP member. I listen to your show every night before I go to sleep. Your show is very therapeutic for those that have the curse of seeing dead people, since I consider this a curse rather than a gift. I can never get used to it. My sister had asked me to keep writing my ghostly experiences, since I do have quite many. This one in particular happened when I was driving by myself from South Florida to North Carolina. I've been on the road for about 10 hours. It was about 2 a.m. on I-95 North in South Carolina. It was raining horribly hard. I was very tired and found myself almost falling asleep on the wheel. I tried putting music on and putting on the AC on high, and even exiting on the next exit and checking into a hotel. Then I decided to play some music from my iPod. When, to my horror, I saw I was not alone in my car. There in the passenger seat sat a young man, very relaxed. He was a white guy wearing what it looked to be a Civil War era soldier suit. Could even tell the color gray. It was like, okay. I was like, okay. I woke up. It woke me up for sure. Looked at him and he did not look at me, but he kept his eyes on the road and I felt very calm. And a very calm feeling from him. He made me feel very relaxed and I was like, okay. I kept looking at him and he was kind of solid, but also had a faint glow to him. Kind of fluorescent. The more time passed, I knew he was there to not just keep me company, but he came to prevent an accident from happening. I accepted him as my riding companion, and he rode with me until south of North Carolina. At that point, he was gone, and I was fully awake. The weather had cleared up. I always remember my good Samaritan companion, and realized that if it wasn't for him, I might have fallen asleep at the wheel that awful night with the weather in the middle of I-95. This is not the first time I've seen wandering spirits that roam the highway. I saw them in Italy once, but that's another story. Thank you once again for taking the time to read and listen to all our ghost stories, Anna.
That's so funny that a Civil War soldier would just pop into a car, you know, because that's something completely outside his frame of reference, unless he's just stood back and watched time go by and knew, mm-hmm. you know, it was a car or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Up on the technology. I think that would wake me up and keep me from falling asleep as well.
I had the foresight to know that by showing up in someone's car randomly, that he'd be a calming presence and not the presence that would make the person crash their car. Because it could really go either way. I would think this would be, if you're trying to cause an accident, and what's the most extreme thing you can do to someone to make them lose control of the vehicle and crash into the median. Mm-hmm. I would say, suddenly plop a ghost in the car. Maybe a Civil War ghost right next to you, out of nowhere. I think that would be the way to make an accident happen.
But to see, I think that the spirits know who can see them and who can't. And sure. There's something about, to them, our presence that lets them know, okay, this isn't going to freak them out because they've been there, done that. They've seen mm-hmm. things for, you know, their whole life.
Sure.
So I think it kind of knew that she wasn't going to be just completely freaked out. It wasn't the first ghost she'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm. It had the foresight. Then it probably doesn't just pop into any car.
Yeah.
Only ones that it knows, oh, I'm not going to cause this person to be in an accident. What if you're the ghost and you make the wrong call? Pop into someone's car? Big accident.
Well, then when that person is a ghost as well, they probably have to have a discussion about that.
Long conversation mm-hmm. on the side of the road about that one. That would not be a fun conversation to have.
It'd be my bad.
My bad. Okay, you get northbound, I'll get southbound. That's, sorry, this is how it's going to work. You're down to the rest stop there. The rest of the territory, it's mine. Carol writes in, our previous house was haunted. My boyfriend, now my husband, moved into a rental house together. And on the day we were moving, we were standing in the kitchen and distinct footsteps walked across the attic floor above us. We looked at each other and said, well, it doesn't feel malevolent. I was thinking to myself, we'll hope I don't end up in a motel. The footsteps did continue, but only occasionally. Also, there would be a strong smell of flowers. One time I was almost choking on it, and I said, okay, I get it, you're here. Now stop the stink. Now stop the stink. It completely disappeared as quickly as it had come. We had jingle bells on our back door. Sometimes I'd hear them ring out, and I thought it was our cats until I heard them, and both cats were sleeping together on the couch. The creepy thing would happen was the feeling of cold, slimy fingers stroking my neck and cheek. We also had a plastic pig about 4 inches long, and it would appear in different places around the house every few days. I asked my husband about it, and he thought I was doing it. He's a really bad liar, so I knew he was telling the truth. Another time, I left a sticky note for him to put $2 in my purse for a breakfast bun the next day. Got up in the morning, and there was the money lying in my purse. I called him during the lunch to thank him, and he had no idea what I was talking about. He'd not seen the note, nor had he put money in my purse. The really odd thing was that my purse had been zipped shut before I went to bed, and it was unzipped with the money inside in the morning. We believe we had a vortex outside our house because of the constant lightning strikes and the number of deaths and car accidents that happened there. And an accident myself as I was turning left into my driveway. Suddenly there was a Jeep coming from the other direction. And it was like Star Trek transporters. It shimmered in front of me, and I hit it. Some time before that, I was on the phone with my husband when he yelled out, oh my God, a woman in a truck had hit a stump in the yard across the street and flipped the truck. She had no idea what had caused her to do that. We don't live there anymore, but I now regret not contacting one of the ghost hunting shows. It would have been interesting to find out what was going on. Or if a bunch of people in my house with sunglasses on saying, bro, I enjoy your show. Okay, I added that part in.
I know you added that
part. I enjoy your show and will become a member when our car payment is done. Well, thank you. I appreciate you becoming an EPP soon.
That is... Do you think there's something that was in the road that was causing all these people, like, were they seeing something? Or was there some kind of, like, invisible force that was causing them to crash?
I don't know a whole lot about vortexes, but it sounds like something that would be doing that. Does that mean, like, some people are being, like, transported and in and out of the area and suddenly, like, oh, my God, I'm hitting a stump and, oh, my God, all of a sudden there's this Jeep in front of me that was not there before?
It almost sounds kind of Bermuda Triangle-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
I don't know.
You go from vortex to vortex. I don't know how that works, but it sounds like there's certainly something very questionably odd with the property there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Very, very interesting story. And yeah, it would have been interesting to get one of those ghost shows out there to get some more insight into what exactly they thought maybe was going on with that property. Great story, though.
Yeah.
Really appreciate sharing that. Our phone number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write in realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go over here to a caller. Let's go to Maria in Florida.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Maria, all the way from West Palm Beach, Florida. Actually, I'm originally from Ecuador, so you might hear a little bit of an accent there, or a lot of an accent. Anyway, pretty much since I was born, believe it or not, I was born in October 31st, so I think that you guys are going to love that. It's the perfect birthday, as far as I'm concerned. Since I was a kid, I've been always strange things happen to me, which is very common to most of your callers anyway. And it's pretty much like I would call it a gift almost. It's major empathic. I even took a test for an empath scale, and I'm extremely empathic. you know, what they call an empath, which would come with all of these other kinds of things. So very, if I hear somebody crying, it's really difficult for me not to feel intense emotion, I mean intense. So besides that, I have several stories, one of them including a Ouija board unfortunate event, but that one I'll leave for another time. Now I just want to tell you one that was kind of, it was a good thing for me because it was kind of a closure. My grandfather died about a year and a half ago, and I was, you know, I was his most beloved grandchild. We actually traveled the world together, just the two of us. We walked the wall of China, spent about a month in Asia just traveling, and it's an amazing thing to do. So we were really, really close. He paid for my education in the United States. Was the most amazing grandpa ever. So when he died, I was able to talk to him on the phone. They called me and he said he's really close to dying. So he was absolutely pretty much knocked out until they put the phone in his ear. And when he heard my voice, he kind of shook up and, you know, opened his eyes like almost like a breath of air. You know, like when you're soaking under the pool and you come out for air, well, kind of like that. So they said that's what the expression he had. And I was able to talk to him and said to be calm, that, you know, and as much as I could. But the thing was, I was feeling really bad after he passed. And, you know, I'm in the United States, there in Ecuador, so I could not, because so fast I couldn't go to see him or anything. So, or probably would have been better not to go anyway, because I don't know that I could have dealt with it. But anyway, one day I was getting ready to go to work. This is early morning. And I was alone in the house. My husband and kids were already, you know, gone for work and school respectively. And I kind of, in my mind, said, you know, give me a sign that you are around here. This is right after he died. We're talking 2 days or so. So I said, give me a sign that you can see me, that you can hear me. And right away, I was going into the kitchen, into the fridge, you know, towards the fridge. And on the fridge, I had some papers, you know, like the classic magnet with the paper, you know, just kind of flopping there. But, you know, if there's no wind in my house, there was no windows open. This is Florida. We live with air conditioner, and at least in the summertime. So there was no windows open in the house whatsoever. And as soon as I get close to the refrigerator, something, I literally felt somebody rush, even run by my side. You know, that unmistakable feeling of somebody, and you feel that wind. I mean, it's not just feeling. This is something, you know, more, you know, like I imagined it. This happened. I felt the rushing, something rushed towards by my left side, like somebody running from one place to another, and you're kind of touching elbows or so, or, you know, rubbing elbows or arms as they pass. And you can feel that air, and, you know, it almost kind of, you know, feel the breeze. Well, just like that. It wasn't just the feeling of the breeze. There was such a breeze. When I looked at paper on the fridge, made like a flapping, I mean, a very almost supernatural noise. It was too strong for just your average paper flopping, you know. And it made a really loud noise, and whoosh, I felt that. And it was immediately after I had asked for that sign. So what is really cool about this story is that I do believe, at least for people who think that, you know, you're done and that's it, I don't think so. I think they are part of our world in a different way. So that was really, it was his last gift for me, for allowing me to transition from his not being physically there to his being watching me all the time. Anyway, thank you for your wonderful show. I am a definite addict. I go to work with you guys, go back to work with you guys, and I'm becoming an APP tonight. So just to let you know, so stay on the show, and I'll be calling you later for that Ouija board story, which I think really had some bad repercussions. Talk to you guys later, and thank you for a wonderful show. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us, and thank you also for becoming an EPP and helping to keep our show on the air.
I think that is, just like she said, it's a gift to know that your loved one is still around in sure. one form or another.
I think we all, you know, deep down, even if you're afraid of ghosts, don't believe in ghosts, whatever your opinion is on ghosts, if you have someone who's really close to you like that and they pass, would love to have some sort of definitive sign that they're okay
mm-hmm.
on the other side, you know. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a, you know, a real spooky experience or anything like that. But I mean, and I think a lot of times too, I think sometimes we look so hard for that in those situations that at times some people identify things that really are not them coming back as them coming back, just because it's such a strong want and desire.
Mm-hmm.
When you can actually have a situation, you know, similar to that, where it seems very definitive as far as what that was and why that was and the timing all lines up, that you can confidently say, no, that was Grandpa.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be.
Well, and I think, too, sometimes people are so busy with their everyday life that mm-hmm. they don't notice the little things, which may be
sure
as simple as a breeze that's in a room where there should not be any breezes
yeah.
physically. You know, things like that. So it's kind of a reminder that we all need to just kind of slow down and be more mindful
sure.
to observe those little things.
That's an interesting, that would be so frustrating as a ghost if you're trying to like, hey, I'm going to give this, you're excited, you're dead.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, all right, I'm going to go let my daughter know I'm okay on the other side. I'm going to go to this room where there's no fans, there should be no breeze, and suddenly it's going to be like a big whoosh. They're sitting there playing on their phone, and you go, whew, and you do the breeze, and you're the ghost doing the breeze. And all they do is just like, yeah, close the app, start downloading another one.
Yeah.
Nothing. No recognition. It's like, how did you miss this? This is my one chance to create a sonic breeze to show you I'm around. And you're too busy playing Crossy Road. You know?
Uh-huh.
I imagine there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
And those are some frustrated ass ghosts. Those are the ones that start doing really bad shit.
As frustrating as it is as parents that are alive.
They don't pay attention to the living.
Yeah.
I mean, how the hell do the dead think they're going to get any attention? yes. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to Sarah in Virginia. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Sarah from Newport News. I'm the one that sent in the story about the floating, what looked to be a star in my room. And I wrote in a story because I couldn't get through to the calls. About an experience that I had as a child that my mother also experienced when she was a child. This is about something that happened yesterday, actually. Yesterday night, not last night, but the night before, I was having terrible nightmares. And I've been having terrible nightmares for a couple weeks now, almost every night, but I've also been experiencing sleep paralysis. I wake up in a panic and I can't move my body and I'm trying to scream for help, but you know, I can only get maybe a little sound out. I can't actually say anything. So I've been having this happen to me. And when I'm in that state of, you know, sleep paralysis, it sounds like my front door is opening and then closing, like somebody's breaking into my house. Or I left the door unlocked and they just invited themselves in. So I was having that problem. And not last night, but the night before, I had that same problem again. I woke up in a panic but this time I was facing my door, and my bedroom door, as I'm laying there in a state of panic already, not able to move, saw my door, my bedroom door, which I keep locked when I sleep, just open. It opened by itself, and I just kept telling myself, I'm dreaming, and I closed my eyes and just drifted off back to sleep. Well, I only slept for maybe 10 minutes after that, because I immediately woke up and I looked at my door and it was open. And I came downstairs and I was kind of upset at what I dreamt and what I had experienced, and did I leave the door open or did it happen, and I'm crazy, I feel like I'm crazy. So I came downstairs and I had a phone call, a voicemail from my mom, And my mom left a voicemail that said, call me. Call me when you wake up. Call me as soon as you can. And so I was kind of worried, so I called her right away. And she didn't pick up. So she called me back later. And she said, did anything happen to you last night? And I said, why? And she said, well, I had this really weird thing where I couldn't move. I woke up and I couldn't move. And I was trying to, you know, scream for help and I couldn't. And she basically experienced the exact same thing. It's a little bit before I did. She experienced it first a few hours before I did. And then when she was able to get up, she called me. She lives in California. I'm in Virginia. But yeah, I just thought it was really weird. But I also was left a voicemail at 2 a.m. from Hawaii. My younger brother lives there. And it's the most disturbing voicemail ever. And I haven't been able to get a hold of him, but it sounds like a distorted, moaning growl. And it growls loudly, and then it growls several times. And it's just weird. And I thought maybe it was in his pocket or something, but then the more I listen to it, the more weird it gets. So I thought I'd just share that with you. I basically have been haunted my whole life, so this is good to get these stories out. I have so many, but I'll leave you with this one. Next time I'll either write in or call in some interesting stuff from my childhood. But thank you for what you guys do, and I hope you guys have a great day, night, or morning, whichever you're listening to this on.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. I want to hear the voicemail.
You want to hear the voicemail?
I want to hear the growling. That's creepy.
That is creepy.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially you think it's, you know, it's a loved one. It's your brother. So, I mean, that almost does kind of explain the 2 a.m. call, if maybe he was not thinking and about the time zone differences, which that can easily happen. I call Hawaii all the time for clients and stuff with the commercial stuff that I do. And I'll call like around noon and they're like, oh, it's 7 a.m. here.
Oh.
Like, oh, okay. So like, yeah. I always have to make a note when I have a Hawaii client of, oh, I have to call them like mid to late afternoon. Otherwise, especially if I call like 8 a.m., I'm calling them at like 3 a.m.
Oh.
So huge time difference.
Yeah.
But I could see, you know, just in normal, you're just doing your, like, I'm going to call my sister, you know, oh shit, it's, you know, 2 a.m, you know, or whatever. But then to have that be the sound that's being left. Probably not the brother. Probably something where it's, you know, something manipulated the number. But why?
I don't know. Just in an effort to scare her.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
If you still have that voicemail, there's a way to share that. You want to hear it?
How do you share that?
I don't know. There's got to be a way.
Oh, I thought you meant you were going to share the way.
No,
to share that.
No, I mean, I'm asking, like, do you want to hear it if she has it?
Oh, probably.
So if it's at all possible, there's probably a way to forward it. I don't know. It couldn't be forwarded to our 800 number unless she, like, calls from another phone and just holds the phone up to the other phone. That would work.
Yeah, we've had callers do that. It's a little difficult to hear, but, you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to email that audio. I mean, sometimes with some phones you can email a voicemail. I don't know. But if you can, we would love to hear that. It'd be very interesting if you wouldn't mind sharing that and giving us permission to play that back here on the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We would, of course, love to hear your real ghost story. And if you like the show, do as many others have so far. Please become an EPP and support the show and keep us on the air. We are getting lots more downloads these days than we were at the beginning of the show, and that means lots more costs to keeping it going with all the bandwidth and all of that fun stuff that goes on behind the scenes. It'd be wonderful if there was no cost involved, but unfortunately there is, and we'd love to continue to do the show. So with that, we ask for your support, and our EPPs are helping us do that. So please consider becoming one. It's only $5 a month. A bunch of folks chip in, and the show continues afloat. So please check that out at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all those bonus episodes as a thank you for being an EPP, and bonus video content as well from us. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories online.